Welcome to So No Kids,
the podcast designed by women without kids for women without kids.
This is a place for an open and honest discussion about how it feels to live life as a child-free woman.
In the studio today, we have Sammy. We talked about being a mother to everyone, the frustrations of modern dating, acceptance of not having your own children, and ultimately being fucking fabulous. So without further ado, here's our interview. We'd love to welcome Sammy to our So No Kids podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today, Sammy.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And as you know, we're just looking outwardly at the bigger community as women without children, of which I think it's safe to say we all are at the moment. Disclaimer, women on this podcast may go on to have children, and that's life. That's totally everyone's prerogative. But as it stands right now, here as women without kids, we always start with the same question, which is, how did you come to be a woman without kids?
By accident. I definitely wasn't a plan for me by any means. I had a really lovely childhood in a lot of aspects. I had a very confusing childhood in some other aspects. And I think it was a longer road for me to understand what a healthy attachment was, particularly with men.
Mm-hmm. I think we can all relate to that.
I just want to state, love men. They're great. So many great ones out there. But it is confusing sometimes to figure out which ones are the great ones for you. Especially in like a crazy society. So I think that my road to finding healthy love, which I still am on, was very complicated. And there were lots of reasons for that. You know, I was born into a domestic violence situation where my mom, you know, took me away from that. And she did marry a really healthy, lovely guy who basically raised me. But they didn't tell me that I was from the first marriage. So I found out about when I was like 11. Mm. And I think that that had repercussions for my identity because I wasn't given the space to explore that, I think, in a healthy way where I was allowed to have a lot of feelings around it. So, you know, I fundamentally thought something was wrong with me. And I lived with that for a very, very long time. And I processed that alone for a very long time. And so I think that made me scared of love. I mean, that made me scared to date the right type of people. And that made me go into situations with people that were not at all healthy and sort of replicating my past. And so that is why I am child-free at the moment. Mm. I would love a child. I don't want to just be like, oh, I never want kids, or, you know, I'm so happy with this decision. It's not a decision that I necessarily made. It is the reality of my current situation.
I think as well, dating is very difficult, and it gets more difficult as society gets more into the world of Hinge and Bumble and, you know, the lack of meeting people sometimes in the situations that we did previously. And it means it takes longer to meet people. And as women, we don't always have that beauty of time in the same way men do when it comes to things like children. I mean, we obviously there are so many different ways we can be mothers. But I think it is a particularly difficult landscape to meet people.
Yeah, and also we're not here just to be mothers. And like that is something that I've been really exploring. Like for some reason, women are just viewed as this thing that is supposed to take care of everybody's needs and everybody's wants. And I'm supposed to walk into a room and be completely attuned to the room and adaptive and understand the situations going on. And a guy can just come in and have a great time.
Yeah.
And like doesn't need to make sure you have water or that. And it's not because they're not capable of it. It's because they don't practice it. And that is the fundamental, I feel like, issue with being a woman nowadays, is we are stuck in this position of having to mother everyone and mother everything. And now including mothering men who don't want to grow up. That is a problem. I mean, the amount of men who are scared of their feelings or scared of someone who has what they want, and then they turn it on you because they see what that you've built it and it makes them feel inferior.
Yes.
It's fascinating. Like, I can't tell you how many times I've gone out with people who I really, really liked and really, really even loved. And they turn around and went, "You're just so independent," mm-hmm. or "You're so passionate," or "You're so accomplished. And why would you want to be with someone like me?" Well, I don't need you for those things. What I want is someone to ask me how my day is, or ask me what's stressing me out, or just being like, "Oh, do you need a glass of water? Do you need a glass of water?"
Someone to care.
Someone cares.
Yeah.
Because all day I'm going around looking who needs a glass of water.
Mm. Yeah.
Because I've been conditioned to do that since being a kid. Mm. And we are conditioned to do that as women in our society. Yeah, I personally am very tired of mothering.
Yeah.
Mm. I feel like I have mothered quite a lot. And I am tired of being so gentle with everybody else except myself.
Mm.
And like that, I find fascinating. I am sure if we talk to men who want children and don't have children, they would say the same thing about women. Like, I don't think it's unique, but I do think that there are more men at the moment who are afraid of growing up.
And how do you have a child with a child?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of women that will be like this.
You end up mothering more than just your children. You end up mothering a partner in your children. And I think that's why there is a bit of this happening now more and more.
That's exhausting.
It's exhausting. Mm.
And it's a real consideration.
It's exhausting. In modern life is already exhausting because I can't just be a woman not doing anything and mothering everybody. I now have to be a woman with a 401k and a pension and contributing to our mortgage because you can't afford a mortgage on your own,
mm-hmm.
while also working and taking care of the children and now the emotions of my partner.
Yeah.
Whereas the emotions of your partner are, of course, part of your journey of a relationship, but they are not your responsibility. And I think that there is a disconnect at the moment with men who feel that their emotions are their partner's responsibility, and including their social obligations and things like that. Like, how many of your girlfriends are planning everything for their partnership?
Mm-hmm.
How many are going, "Oh, next week we have to go to your cousin's, you know, 60th birthday."
100%.
And the husband's like, "Oh, yeah, we do have to go to that. I didn't do that." And she's like,
I don't look at the calendar.
Already packed to the car. You're like,
exactly.
And I don't think that's like, if there's so many factors to it, it's not like just men, it's not just us. Like, there are lots of factors for how we got here.
Mm-hmm. Back to like the thing with dating, like, I cannot overstate how much that resonates. I've literally had men turn around to me and say, "You make me feel bad about myself because you have somewhere to live and a job and a strong social circle and, you know, a whole adult being."
Yeah.
And to have that thrown back in your face, like, "Oh, it's your fault, I feel bad," with typically somebody who you maybe not known for a huge amount of time, that's a huge rejection of their own autonomy and personal responsibility. And it's really shocking. Like, when listening to you talk about it, I'm like, it's actually outrageous. Like, I don't even know where to go
it's
with it.
It's a massive projection.
Yeah,
it's
massive.
Massive projection. Yeah.
And it's something we've all experienced.
Yeah. I mean, I cannot tell you how many of my friends, it's like 90%.
Yeah.
It's not like some small number. And the more accomplished my friend, the more they're rejected like this. For several decades now, women have been developing very strong female bonds, female networks, going to school and becoming more educated than we ever have been in previous times. And I feel like the men have not developed these kind of structures for themselves beyond just the relationship with a partner. So their fundamental understanding of emotion is just with the person that they love, and not with a community of other men who love them and also support them and also give them good advice.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lack of good advice among men and a lack of accountability of men being like, you know what, that was fucking disgusting behavior. And I don't want to be friends with someone that treats people like that, especially women. I think there is a little bit of that happening as well. And so men are not emotionally supported by multiple areas.
And when you think about as a woman, how much you're taken out of things to rear a child, like you, as much as it is a two-person job, naturally, yeah, biologically, you are tied to that child. You are feeding that child. And if you don't have someone who has the maturity to have that healthy relationship or to be able to offer what we're talking about, it's really interesting when you look at the declining birth rate or you look around and see you're not the only one who's living a child-free life. There is a very legitimate reason there that until a little bit more work is done for some, not all, but some men of our generation to really have a little look internally and figure out their own issues, yeah, for women to feel that those people would make a solid partner to go into quite a difficult period of life, and ultimately very fulfilling, but very difficult without the right support.
Mm. Right, because the same man that's telling you you're too independent or you're too whatever, or you're just like, you're upsetting his ego. If you had a child and that child became the center of the world, you would be having those same conversations now, because the child is here. Mm. And it would be like, well, now you don't pay attention to me because you've got a child. And now you're not listening to me because you're like tired because you have been breastfeeding all day. Like that, it doesn't take a genius to see that that first level of behavior is going to echo,
yeah,
throughout the job. It is not my job to give you a strong sense of identity.
No.
It's not my job to go, oh, it's okay. Yeah, of course, I love both of you equally all the time. Like, you need to have enough presence to understand that someone loves you and they're there for you. And if you need every once in a while, like, a double up on that, I'm there. Mm. But, like, if I need to tell you every day that you're just the greatest thing since sliced bread, it's never going to work.
And you're just like, the mother then.
Mm-hmm. Like, just the mother. You're doing the job of the mother. And part of growing up is that you go, wow, my parents did the best that they could do. Or they did, like, yeah, they did the best that they could do. Even if it's like really shitty, you have to just make amends with that. Mm. And then you must be your own mother and father.
Yeah.
You must make up the gap of what you needed. And if you don't do that journey, you are just a child forever. Mm-hmm. And I think there is part of that as well happening. But you'd be like an idiot if you didn't think that the behavior you're seeing at the beginning, in the best days you're going to get of someone, this is the best behavior, okay? To see that and not think it's going to apply when you have a child, it's going to get worse when you have a child.
Yeah.
It's going to get worse when you get married or busy or someone loses a job. It's like, this is not going to sustain because you're not doing the work to keep your ego and your confidence in the right place. Well, I wanted to also say is that I always say this, it's such a privilege that we can even talk about our feelings, mm-hmm, that we live in a society where we all have 10 minutes to go, how am I feeling today?
Yeah.
Because most don't. The previous generations did not. You know, my grandmother was married at 18. She had 5 kids. She wanted to be a singer. She got into Juilliard and couldn't go because,
wow,
'cause they thought that she should get married. And like, and it killed her. It killed her for her whole life. And like, it's fascinating when you think of that. You know, my mom was the first to go to university. Mm. I was the first in my like immediate family to finish a degree. as a woman. We are so privileged to be on these roads and these discussions. And just like men are so privileged to redefine what being a man is right
now. Yeah.
And like what an incredible thing that you could do right now is like decide how you want to fit into your role and how you're doing. And I would literally die if I walked into a pub and I heard men talking about this, because I talk about it, I would say, weekly with my girlfriends. Yeah. But that just is not the discussion.
No.
It's not the discussion or the pressure of other people in their lives saying, well, what's going on here? Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, you've been through, like, 24 girls in the last 2 years. Like, what's going on, mate?
Like, yeah. Like
they're not having those conversations.
Yeah. No one's questioning that. Whereas if it was reversed and you'd had 24 boyfriends in the last 2 years,
someone would be like, what the fuck is wrong
exactly
with you?
Are they getting help?
Yeah. You need to see a therapist, mate. Like, yeah. What is going on?
Yeah. Like, what do you love about your life?
I love that I have an infinite amount of choice that my grandmother did not have. And I love that I have the ability to be creative and go on journeys and meet people and live in different countries. I love that I have really, really rich and deep relationships with, I have a few god kids. They're all fabulous. I love seeing them. I love bringing them back home. I like that I have created a safe space for myself and that I will continue to enjoy life. And, you know, when I turned 39, 39 was a wild year for me because I knew I was going to turn 40. And I had some friends who were older and didn't have kids, like 45, 46. And I saw them have like a breakdown at 45, 46. And I was like, you know what? I'm not going to do that. I'm going to really explore. Like, I made a very conscious decision to explore having kids or not having kids. And what would it look like? And what would it be like if I were to have a kid without a partner? If I were to have no kids, if I just married the next person and had a kid, like what, all these scenarios, I really thought through it and I grieved. I was grieving for a year because the life that I wanted, I had not found. And I fundamentally came out of that grief with the idea that my life was pretty great. And if I didn't have kids, I was going to be fucking fabulous and go on holidays and I was going to have a lot of money and I was going to, you know, just enjoy. I was going to live in the center of the city and I'd become probably a weird sound artist around the age of 70. I remember I went to Berlin when I was in my 20s and I saw this sound artist and she was about 75 and she was playing like a synthesizer and I just never seen anything like that. And I went, well, that's the fucking future. And, you know, and I wonder if even seeing that has made me go on my I don't really need kids. But, you know, I would love a child. I would absolutely adore it. But I did grieve the idea that I may or may not have one. And I've come to terms with that in a way where I feel like I don't feel like I'm missing out on a life without a child. What I feel is I have gained a life without a child.
Mm.
And that is the path that came to me. And I, you know, in my family, we had one crazy aunt who was like a teacher and she did not have any children, but she was like the most adored aunt of the entire family. So in a way, she mothered a lot of people. But like they would always call her like crazy, you know, she was always crazy and she was really like artistic and creative and
she had the space to be those things.
She had lots of hobbies that were very specific and she enjoyed doing them. And like, why was that considered crazy is like beyond me.
And if she'd been a boy, what would the definition of her being?
She would have been a successful collector of something.
Yeah.
Right? Like she wouldn't be like this crazy person with hobbies. She would be like, oh, he's really into making sailboats. It's a very accomplished hobby.
Yeah.
That's what the conversation would have been.
Yeah.
And it would have been like, oh, he's a little odd, but you know, he's fine. He has his boats.
Exactly. He's a bachelor.
Yeah. He's a bachelor.
Yeah.
He's
got
his boats. He's got his house. He's got his life together. He's fine.
Yeah.
But it's like if you're a woman, you're like constantly missing something if you don't have kids.
Because I don't know. Like, what am I missing? I'm not missing love. I have lots of love. I'm not even missing unconditional love. I have tons of that. And like, and I also have tons of that to give. I'm just not giving it to a child and I'm giving it to other things.
Mm-hmm. And that's okay too.
Yeah.
But like this, I think some women can't have children. Like, what kind of message are we sending in our society that people who can't actually have children are defunct or missing something? There's nothing you're missing. It's not what was meant to happen.
Yes.
It's not what's there. And you have to live in reality. But like, if our society is constantly telling someone that can't have a kid, that they've messed up, there's nothing wrong with having kids or not having kids. It's just simply a choice. Mm. It's like saying, oh, it's bad you live in an apartment versus a house.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
They have different benefits.
They have different benefits.
Yeah. There's room for all of it, essentially. Mm-hmm.
For all of it. And in fact, appreciating all of it actually makes it a better society with less pressure and more people caring about all the people within it. So instead of me making a judgment on whether or not you've had a child, for me to say, oh, that person is putting their love in lots of different things and let's see how that can connect with me, that is so much greater of, instead of your judgment now outcasting me and going, oh, well, she doesn't have kids, so you probably can't invite her to, you know, Fred's 7th birthday, but you will be awkward. I love Fred's 7th birthday. It's great. I love watching the kids get like drunk off soda pop.
The drunker I get, the better I am with kids.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're fabulous.
Frankly. Yeah.
Last night we went to a dinner where there were like 24 people and like half were under 12. But I don't feel like, I wasn't like, oh, I miss the child I would have had here.
In fact, it's quite nice sometimes to be like, bye, kids. I'm going to go back to my quiet house.
There's like an idea of like people sitting there going like, oh, she's probably thinking about the child she's never had. Like, by the way, that's not an idea that comes into my head.
No, same.
Ever.
Yeah, I know.
It's not what was meant.
But I do want to go on the bouncy castle. Can I just say that's the best thing about a kid's party?
Oh my God. And I have to tell you something. I am that person.
Yeah.
Like, I am the fun aunt. I'm really like, they always talk to me about stuff they're not talking to their parents about. And when I go to their parents, I'm like, oh yeah, they just told me about this kid who's like, you know, not being nice in the school. They're like, what are you talking about?
And yeah.
I'm like, I got the 411.
Yeah, yeah, I got the good stuff.
Good stuff. And it's like, you know, and that's an important role too within our society.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a different privilege and it's a different support for our friends with kids, essentially. Exactly. You know, I think it will be really exciting as I see our friends' kids get older and getting to know them as mini adults, as a fellow adult who's not their immediate relation.
Can I also say the other thing I love about my life? Is that if I want to take a yoga class at 6:30 p.m., I don't have to coordinate any picking up children plans. I can just go to the fucking yoga class, zen out, come home, and like relax. I wouldn't mind just being in a partnership where we have no children and we go to yoga.
Yeah.
And that's that. I don't know. There's so many things that are great about not having children. There are so many things that are great about having children.
Yeah.
And there is enough space for both to fucking exist without this like judgment of sadness on my life.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you're judged with sadness all the time?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Like all the time.
Outside of our friendship circles, outside of the people that really know me and know that this is no surprise that I chose this way to live, especially in sort of work environments, I feel like there has to be very clearly me being like, I don't have kids, and kind of trying to own that, because I feel like people are looking at you like, why don't you have kids? What sadness led you here? And then, you know, well, sometimes there's not sadness. Sometimes it's just the way that I want to live.
It was the choice, yeah.
I love when I meet a woman who's like, I didn't want fucking kids. And like, it was just like, I knew at 4, I didn't want them, not having them. And I just think how great.
Yeah.
How great that you've made that choice for yourself. And that you have stuck to it and just like gone for it. I also love women who are like, I don't want kids. I got knocked up and now I'm loving it.
Yes.
Like, yeah. Amazing.
Too. Yeah. So.
I mean, because we've talked a lot about like the emotional surroundings of not having children. But like financially,
it doesn't actually make sense. Like, if you, like, really make the numbers work for yourself,
yeah,
it's not always, like, the most logical or, you know, reasonable thing to do right now.
Absolutely.
Whereas, like, 50 years ago, you could have a kid and it would financially be okay, right? Like, the finances are different now. It's much more of a taxing burden. You know, our governments do have to understand that part of the reason people aren't having children is also because it's just wildly expensive. It's wildly expensive to put them into daycare.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's wildly expensive to have them in certain countries, like even just birth them.
Yeah.
And so, like, that is definitely a reason why the birth rate is declining. Like, for sure, if you made it easy and financially viable to have a child, people will be popping them out way quicker.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Because you don't have to think about, oh, where are we going to live? Or how am I going to go to work? We haven't, like, reassessed how we want women to be while working. I think a lot of times, like, we want women to work like men, which is not possible because we're not men.
Mm-hmm.
But we also want them to raise the family and look after the grandmother and schedule all the appointments and do this.
Buy the birthday cards.
And then we gotta tell them, yes, that flexible working is absolutely ridiculous. And that you need to be in the office 3 out of 5 days. You can't have it all. We can't work nonstop, afford the children, look after everybody, and still make the birth rate rise.
To go back to your point around actually how can men start thinking about how they want to be men in a modern society, what does it mean? What work do they need to do on themselves in order to set the standard moving forward? When the law changed in the UK around actually men being able to take shared parental leave, the low uptake that has seen over the last 10 years that it's been in place versus how many women are still taking maternity leave. Mm. We've got friends who've taken mm-hmm. a couple of bouts of shared parental leave, but I still believe that there is the perception of if I take this, it'll hurt my career, you know?
What?
And it's something that, you know, women have had to fight so hard to get even the maternity leave rights that we have in the UK now, which could be so much better. And now that something is given to men of a somewhat similar ilk, they're going, oh, no, I'm not going to do that because it's going to hurt my career.
Feminism. The women have done enough. We have screamed enough. We have told you enough. We have explained enough. It is now up to the people that are not women to make the changes. My godmother actually doesn't have any children. And she's married to my godfather, who's Meze. And they have, like, literally the best life.
Yeah.
Sculpture artists in Baltimore. They travel around everywhere. They have, like, an incredible group of artist friends. And they're just, like, they are literally having the best time.
These are the role models that have led us here.
Yes.
For a lot absolutely. Of us, I think these are the role models who have really paved a way that looks very enticing.
Mm, very nice life.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank Sammy. You so much. Thank we you. Really Thank appreciate you. It. Brilliant talking to Sammy. She had so many interesting points to make.
And that point around grief as well, I thought was really interesting. Like, that's in such a powerful thing to give yourself permission to do. Actually thinking to yourself, right, okay, I wanted this and I'm going to stop and I'm going to be sad that it's not going to be in my future.
And process that.
Yeah, absolutely. What an amazing thing to be able to do.
So No Kids podcast is created by Joe Ridley and Louise Cotton and recorded at Pirate Studios in Hackney Wick, with editing by Joe Ridley, audio support from Rich Martin and Ross Flight, audio mastering by Edie Martin, production support from Claire Amasami, and music from Stephen Pack.
And if you enjoyed this, please share.